Well, I got to tell you something. I love being in church, like I said, and I came in here ready to preach today. Who came in here ready to listen? Who came in here ready to be challenged today? I'm excited about this series that God has for us during this season, during this Christmas season. And one of the things that I do every single year as we're getting ready to go into the Christmas season is that as I go through and I reread the Christmas story, I go through and I reread it for myself because I love the Christmas story. I just find so much wonder and awe in this story. So much simplicity. And it helps remind me that Jesus came to this earth. The Son of God came here to experience everything that I experience. To walk this earth and understand me so he truly can be my Lord and my Savior. He understands where I come from. And so every single year I go through and I reread the Christmas story, and I just fall in love with God over and over again every single time I do it. I also reread the Christmas story through the pastoral lens that I have. And I reread it, and I'm asking God, okay, God, I know that there's nothing new under the sun, that this story has been read so many times, but what is it this year that you have to speak through this story to us? What is it in this story that you want to speak to each and every single one of us? And through this season, and as I was rereading the story this year, there was something that really struck me, something that really kind of stood out to me, and it was all of the different random events that transpired in the Christmas story. All of these different random characters and individuals that came together to tell the greatest story that's ever been told. And I began to look at this, and I was like, man, it seems completely random, doesn't it? And sometimes in our own life, that's how we see things too, that our life is full of all of these random events, all of these random occurrences that happen. And so I believe that God wants to be able to speak to us over all of these random things and help us understand what that looks like. Because I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily like just random events. In fact, I don't believe that any of us really look at life and think, oh, it's just random, it's just a coincidence, whatever, you know. But we want to make sense of things. But we want to understand why things are happening. I believe that it's an innate desire in each and every single one of us to try to make things fit together. To try to make these occurrences in our life fit together. Why did this happen? Why did it have to happen to me? Why now? Why did this person come into my life? And we had this innate desire to understand the life around us. We wanted to make sense. We wanted to fit together into this beautiful tapestry and have our life completely make sense. And I'll tell you this, that as a Christian, I believe that desire in each and every single one of us is a direct reflection that each of us are made in the image of God. That this desire inside of us to make sense and bring order to random occurrences is a reflection that we are made in the image of God. We serve a God. As a Christian, I believe that I serve a God of order. I serve a God of design, and I serve a God of purpose. And so every single one of us, when we want to try to make sense of our life, it is a direct reflection that you are made in the image of God. Let's look at Romans 8:28. This is our theme verse for this entire series, and it says this: and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
God works for us to make all of these things fit together. And you know, here's the thing that I love about this is that we're going to be talking about purpose actually today. That's what we're going to be looking at, the purpose that you and I have. But the times that we are asking ourselves why is this happening to me? Here's the time that we're asking it. It's when all of a sudden life is really throwing a curveball at us, right? Where we're facing a speed bump in our life. There's this mountain of trouble and trials in front of us. That's when we start asking the question, why me? We don't ask that question when life is going good, do we? We don't ask that question like, why is this happening to me right now when life is amazing? When we got the dream job. We don't ask ourselves that question when we actually landed the job. It's when we lose our job. Why? How does this make sense, right? Like, I'll tell you this. it was just about, we're working on 4.5 years. My wife and I are coming up to 5 years of living in Arizona. And the trip that we made from Illinois to Arizona, we took 3-day road trip coming out here. And every single step of the way, every single mile that we passed, it was the greatest road trip that we've ever been on. And that was a road trip with a 4-year-old and an 18-month-old. And I was still like, I was not like proud of it because my 18-month-old, he had a fever. So he was all on Children's Town all the whole time. So he just slept. Like maybe that's why it was enjoyable for us. But it was the greatest road trip that we ever had, except for New Mexico. New Mexico is horrible, right? Like, you don't want to drive through New Mexico. It's the armpit of the nation, right? Like, but besides that, it was amazing. I love you, buddy. We got an alumni in New Mexico over there. But anyways, man, we loved it. We loved going and seeing all the different sites. We love going to the Arch. We love going to Amarillo, Texas, and seeing the Cadillac, headstone or whatever of Cadillacs. You ever see that? Like, it's amazing. These Cadillacs are sticking up out of the ground. We loved every single moment of that road trip. Why? Because we were coming to Arizona to be able to be part of this church, to be part of this. And we knew that every single mile that we were passing was getting us closer to what we believed that God's purpose was for us. We wanted to get there so bad because this was our dream coming to fruition. And we couldn't wait to get here. That entire trip, we never once asked each other, why is this happening to us right now? Well, I can't believe I'm trying to make sense of all this. Of course it makes sense. This is what we were designed to do. But there's a moment before that. See, we ask ourselves the question when things get tough, right? When we go through loss. When we have a relationship that falls apart, right? When we get married, like we don't ask ourselves the question, why is this happening when we get married? We ask ourselves this question, why is this happening now when we get divorced? Nobody plans on divorce, right? Nobody plans on losing their job. Nobody plans on not getting the dream job. See, before my wife and I were married, when we were still dating, I actually was I was going to Bible college, but I didn't want to be a pastor. I had no desire to be a pastor because I don't know any other fun pastors. That was just me. I all those guys, they're a bunch of stick in the muds, right? Like, why don't you just chill out a little bit, right? Like, that's what my perception of pastors was. Maybe a little bit still today, right? But that's beside the point. I didn't want to be a pastor. And my wife, when we met and we started dating, she knew that I went to a Bible college that is really for like ministers and pastors and missionaries and all that kind of stuff. And she asked me the question. She was like, do you have a desire to be a pastor? Because I don't want to be a pastor. And I was like, no way, I don't want to do that. Like, that sounds horrible. I don't want to be a pastor. And she's like, well, what is it that you want to do? What's your dream job? And my dream at that time was to go into higher education. I wanted to work at the university level, and I wanted to help the students that were there, these college students, and their social life. Because, man, I'm a relational person, and I want to help develop students. And so my desire, my dream was to become the dean of students at a local university, at whatever kind of Christian university. I want to help disciple students along the path. That was my dream. And to get there, you've got to go through higher education yourself. You're going to have to get a doctorate, a master's. And so I started getting my master's and my master's in counseling because that was kind of the requirement. That was the prerequisite to be able to get a position. And you're kind of your foot in the door, like the entry level position to get into student life in any kind of campus is to become a resident director or a dorm dean. You know, like universities have different names for them, but basically you're the person in charge of the dorm and the life of the students in the dorm. That was my dream. That's what I wanted to do. And Jenny was like, that sounds awesome. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, let's be part of that. And so I was working towards that. I was going to school, I was getting my master's in counseling, and then at my wife's alma mater, Evangel University, there was a position that opened up for a resident director. And I knew a couple of people there. You know, we had good relationships with people that were already resident directors, and the assistant dean of students, and we knew those people. And I had people that were fighting for me, that they were like, yes, you would be amazing at this, we want to see you do this. And so we applied for that position.
In fact, we got all the way through the interview process. We were in the top three. We were one of the three chosen to be able to come in. Had to sit in this big, huge panel of people that were sitting there interviewing him. And I go through the interview process, and one of my buddies was actually on that panel. He was a resident director, and afterwards, he said, I was the last one to actually be interviewed, and he came up to me, he's like, man, you killed me. You blew everybody else out of the water. This has got to be your position. Well, then we found out a couple days later, it was not ours. I wasn't hired. I know, right? Like, who wouldn't want to hire me? That's what I'm thinking, you know? And I'm devastated. I'm devastated because all of a sudden, this purpose that I thought that I had was gone. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. The random purpose that each of us have. The random purpose that we have for maybe a moment, or maybe the dream that we have to be able to go forward, but what we feel that we were designed to accomplish. And sometimes, we don't get to fulfill that. Sometimes, we don't get to go forward in what we believe that God has for us. How are you designed? What were you designed to do? What purpose do you want to fulfill? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. See, I wasn't even in a position that I even had the position. I lost it before it was even there. And I sat there and I began to question, why? Why is this happening to me now? How does this make any sense? And that's what we want to talk about. The random purpose that each of us falls into every once in a while. The very first random purpose that we want to talk about today is this. It's the unwanted purpose. Sometimes we're faced with things that we have to do. Are there any things that as an adult that you do that you don't want to do? Right? Like dishes, anybody? Right? Like, but there's something that you have to do. There's responsibilities that we have and we don't want to do it. It's an unwanted purpose that each of us has. There's a, looking at the Christmas story, we're going to see a huge unwanted purpose found here in Matthew, starting in chapter 1, verse 18. And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So they were engaged, right? But before they came together, everybody know what that means, right? I don't have to explain that one for you. We'll have our relationship series in February if you need any help with that, all right? But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, the reason why they use terminology here, because you can see they were pledged to be married. But that was it wasn't just engagement. At that time, man, if you were pledged, you were basically married already. And you actually had to break that thing off, not just by saying, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it was a big, big deal. And all of a sudden, Joseph is sitting there and he's like, excuse me, what is happening here? Like, before we came together and you're pregnant now, how? What is this supposed to be like? I don't understand this at all. But you know what? Because I'm faithful to the law and I actually love God, I'm not going to try to drag your name in the mud, but I think I'm going to go ahead and step away, right? Like, I don't feel the need to have to raise a kid that's not mine. How many of you guys would be like, oh yeah, I'm out. Like my thought first is like, man, Joseph is amazing. Because I would have been headed for the hills. Like, I'm like, I'm out. Like, I don't need to even worry about the divorce. I'm not taking care of a kid that I didn't even have any part of, right? Like, I look at Joseph and I'm like, man, this dude's amazing already. Because he's faithful to the law and he wants to be able to serve God. And he said, you know what, hey, I'm going to go ahead and step away from this. This is not my responsibility and it's not my purpose to be able to raise a child that is not mine. But I'm going to do it in a nice way. Man, I would have been gone at the first time. I would have been like, I would have been headed to Tarshish, right? Like, a little testy joke for some of you. You know, that's where I would have been going. I would have been going the other direction. Joseph had an unwanted purpose. I was thinking about this this Christmas season. We moved into our house. We're coming on 2 years to live in our house in Eastmark. And so last Christmas was our first Christmas here at our house in Eastmark. And like many of you, you know, we want to be able to decorate the house for Christmas, make it look nice, you know, decorate the outside of it as well, hang some lights, you know, because I'm not Scrooge, you know, I'm like Bah Humbug. I'm not calling you if you don't hang lights on your house as Scrooge, but you might be, all right? I'm just saying that. So I want to be able to hang some lights up, make the house look pretty and all that kind of stuff. I love me some Christmas, and we got a two-story house. So I put the first row of lights up, and then I had to get like a little higher to be able to get those lights on the second floor, and that was not necessarily fun for me at all. Like, I'm up there. It was actually fun when I first got up there, you know, because I'm like, oh, look, there's Nick's house over there. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like looking at everybody's house. I'm like, this is fun up here. But then I had to actually, like, put the lights up. Like, I had to get down on my belly, and I'm hanging over the edge, and I'm stapling lights on it, and then I'm looking down, and it's just straight down 20 feet, and I'm like, I don't care for this at all. I don't want to be up here anymore. And so this year, as we're getting ready to have Christmas and put some lights up, I was like, I'm not doing that. I don't feel the purpose. That's an unwanted purpose for me to put lights all the way up there. So I cheated this year. Y'all, I went and got those laser lights, you know, that you just stick right in the front of your house and then it lights up the entire house. It took me 20 minutes to get the lights up right now. I found a so much easier solution. I cheated. I don't care. It was great because I didn't die this year. It was wonderful. Call me chicken if you want to. It was a completely unwanted purpose that I had, and I wanted to find another solution. Joseph was going to find another solution. It was completely unwanted, the purpose that was right before him. How are you going to respond if there's something in front of you? How are you going to respond if you feel that God is calling you to something that you don't want? Look at how Joseph responds. He said, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which is the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. It's the Greek word for Joshua, because he will save his people from their sins. So all of a sudden, this unwanted purpose that he had, all of a sudden God said, hold on a second. This is from me. And how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond when there's an unwanted purpose that's right in front of you? It's not something that you want to do, but you know that God is calling you to. Calling you to maybe fulfill a job that you're not really excited about. Calling you to even maybe serve in a capacity that you're like, that's icky to me. I don't want to go back with some babies back there. I don't like that at all. But you know that there's something inside of you that says, I don't know why, but God is calling me into this area of service. How are you going to respond? How does Joseph respond? Remember, he's a man that is faithful to the law. He loves God, and he wants to follow God. So how does Joseph respond? He responds this way. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Man, this boy didn't wait any time. He woke up. They were pledged to be married. He was going to leave her quietly. And instead, he went full reversal and he said, let's get married today. Let's go find a justice of the peace. Let's go elope. Let's go ahead and do this. You're coming to my house today. He didn't waste any time. He said, let's get going on this. It's a completely unwanted purpose that I have, but I know that God is leading me. I know that the Holy Spirit is leading me, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fulfill it. It seems random. It's completely random to me. I didn't wake up and say, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. But I know that God is leading me. And I know that he's going to be able to continue to lead me forward. And so he doesn't waste any time. And he says, it's unwanted, but I welcomely accept it from you. How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond when presented with something that you didn't ask for? How are you going to respond when it's something that you don't even want? I didn't ask for this. I didn't feel like I was born to do this. But I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Because God is leading. How are you going to respond with an unwanted purpose? I hope that you look at Joseph and you say, I'm going to follow God. No matter what, I'm going to follow God. Now let me hear you. Let me hear you say this, and hopefully you'll hear me this too. I'm not saying to you that you need to help every single person in need. I'm not saying to you that you have to, anytime that you see something that might be a need, that you have to go ahead, well, I didn't want it, well, you better do it now. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if God is leading you to a specific thing, then you better step up. You might not be able to help 100 needs, but you can help one. You might not even be able to help 50 needs, but you can help one. Might not be able to see the 10 needs that you know are right in front of you, but you can do one of them. Where is God leading you? Completely unwanted purpose. I hope that you go ahead and respond the way that Joseph did. Now, the other thing that we want to talk about today is this. Sometimes we feel a purpose, and we want to fulfill this purpose, and maybe we are for a little while, but then all of a sudden, the rug gets pulled out from underneath us. See, I was telling you the story of wanting to go into student life and become a dean of students, work in higher education. That's what my goal was, right? That's what I was working towards. But it was actually said, no. We don't want you. There was rejection that was there. And I can tell you that what I felt at that moment was a complete sense of loss. In fact, it didn't even happen just one time. As the next year came around, there was another position that was open. In fact, it was for the exact same dorm, because that person said, this job is horrible, I don't want this anymore. And so they walked away, so it was for the exact same dorm. And I can tell you this, that Jenny and I, when we were going in for this position again a year later, we began to walk around this dorm every single night. We began to pray for this dorm every single night. We began to pray for the students that were going to be residing in there, that were going to have their year there, that we wanted each of them to be blessed. We felt like it was ours, and guess what? They said no a second time. And I felt grief. I felt a sense of loss. How are you going to respond when there is the loss of a purpose? How are you going to respond when you're in a job and then you're fired? How are you going to respond when it's something that you want to do and somebody says no? How are you going to respond even in a place of service? You're trying to volunteer. You're like, I want to be part of this. I don't think so. How are you going to respond? We're going to look at another individual in this story, the Christmas story, who had a severe sense of loss. Let's continue on in Matthew. Matthew 2, 1 through 2 says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, everybody say King Herod.
King Herod.
During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east, which means like wise men, why you see wise men, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Everybody say, King of the Jews.
King of the Jews.
We saw his star when he rose and we come to worship him. All right. They saw a star. It was a sign that the King of the Jews was born. And who did they go see? Herod. King Herod. Guess who Herod was king of? King of the Jews. He was ruling in that area. And they come to him and say, hey, we've come to worship the born new king of the Jews. Hold up a second. Excuse me? I think I'm the king right now. And I think that I should be the one that you're coming to say, hey, thank you so much, right? Like, I'm the king of the Jews. What are you talking about? A new king. This is my job. And you're telling me that I'm going to lose my job? That doesn't make any sense to me. See, King Herod, he's actually known as Herod the Great. And Herod the Great was, there were some things that he was really great about. He was great at building structures. In fact, even today in Jerusalem, maybe you've heard of the West Wall or the Wailing Wall. That wall is part of the temple that King Herod built. It was part of the many construction projects that King Herod oversaw. Fortresses, new cities, ports that allowed Israel to flourish. King Herod was great in many areas. He was also great in his jealousy and his violent acts. He didn't want to see anybody come and usurp the throne. He wanted to be able to rule, and he ruled with an iron fist. And anytime somebody came and they were going to usurp his authority, man, he just said, I'm going to snuff you out. Like, you're gone. His mother-in-law. Three of his sons, who he was worried about usurping his authority, he just assassinated and had killed. In fact, this, Caesar Augustus has been said that King Herod, it is better to be one of the pigs in King Herod's court than one of his sons. He was great in his violence. And these are individuals that are coming in and saying, hey, there's a new boy in town. There's somebody who's going to be the king of the Jews. I'm the king of the Jews. And so King Herod does another very violent act. He finds out where this king is supposed to be born. He has some of his wise men go and look in the Old Testament. See, the prophecy is supposed to be that he's born in Bethlehem. And so Herod says, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to send all my soldiers over to Bethlehem. And I'm going to have all of the children, all of the sons, boys that were just born 2 years and younger, wipe them all out. How did he respond to a sense of loss? This is how he responded. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. How do you respond when you lose something? How do you respond when you lose your purpose? He was greatly disturbed. He completely eradicated a bunch of two-year-old boys in an area. He was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. I would think so. They just killed a bunch of two-year-old kids, right? Of course they're all disturbed. He was grieving. He wanted to say, I'm going to hold on to this thing with an iron fist. I'm King Herod. I am the king of the Jews. And he didn't want the loss of his purpose to change him. How was he defined? His name was King Herod. He was defined as a king. And that was exactly his problem. Is that many times our job and our purpose, what defines us? And why he became so angry? Because his purpose was defining who he was. See, I told you the story that when I was going through this interview process, that I was told no twice. Rejected for the thing that I truly wanted to do. I wanted to be able to follow in my mentor's footsteps. This is what I wanted. And when I was told no, and it wrecked me. It grieved me. I felt a sense of loss of purpose. And I had a choice in front of me. I had a choice that I learned at that moment. And the choice was either this. I could become bitter. And I could become angry. And I could let my purpose define me. I could become bitter. Or I could become better. And I chose to become better, and not to be defined by my purpose, but be defined by who I serve. I'm not going to be defined by what I do. I'm going to be defined by being a child of the Most High, by being a child of my risen Savior, by being a child of Jesus Christ, the only one who is worthy of all praise. How am I defined? In that moment, I learned that all of my identity is going to be found in Christ alone. You have a choice before you when you lose a purpose. You can either get better or you can get better. Did I say better twice? You can get bitter or you can get better. Are you going to be defined by what you do or are you going to be defined by who you serve? How are you going to be defined? And all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I'm going through this process. And I had a friend of mine, who's a great friend of mine still today. We got a little thing called Band of Brothers, man. All these pastors around the country that we get together and we talk and we encourage each other. And one of those individuals was one of my best friends from college. And at that time, he was a student pastor at one of the local churches. And it wasn't a church that we were going to, but man, I love this man. He's like my brother, still is. And he said, hey, man, I know that this isn't the direction that you were thinking about going, but could you come help us out? Like, man, we need some help in our student ministry. And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything else, right? Like, sure, why not? You know, like, nothing else is going right in my life. And so I didn't even talk to my wife. I was like, hey, babe, we're switching churches. We're going to go help out over here. So, okay. Like, I just appreciated the fact that she was willing to do that because she saw how much pain I was in. And she just was like, man, this boy needs to do something. And so we went and we started helping them. And we began to serve because I was going to be defined by who I was serving, not by what I was doing. And so we served in whatever capacity he had. Whatever was asked, I said yes to. I was never going to say no to him. Whatever it is, whenever, whatever, whoever, I'm going to do it. And so we just said yes to serving. And we served more. And the more that we served, the more responsibility was given to us. And the more that we served, and the more that we loved those students. And we loved being part of that church. And as time went on, all of a sudden there was a transition that was happening on the staff of the church. See, my buddy, who was the youth pastor, the student pastor, his real gifting was in music. Just a stud musician, and that's what he really had a desire to do, was to be a worship pastor like Pastor Frank. And so he was having a transition of moving from the student ministry to overseeing the worship ministry of that church. And at that time, the pastor, Pastor Charlie, he came up to me and he said this. He said, you know, we're making this transition here, and we're going to be able to have Nick be the music pastor, and so that leaves our student ministry open. He said, I know you've been serving in a capacity there, and you've actually continued to grow in it. And 6 months prior to that moment, he actually brought me on staff part-time to oversee the entire small group ministry, and I did it well. It was something that I was already doing. I just got paid for it a little bit. It was nice, you know. Like, and so we were already serving in some of those capacities, and he said, because of this transition that is happening, he said, I would like to offer you the opportunity to become the student pastor here at the church. And without a moment's notice, I just said, man, we're going to do it. Absolutely. I said, yes. Why? Because I'm not going to be defined by what I do, but by who I'm serving. And I rationalized it in my head. I was like, I said I didn't want to be a pastor, but a youth pastor, that's the fun pastor, right? Like, I can do that. Like, I don't have to be a stick in the mud, like, pastor. I can be a student pastor. That's fun. Like, Raphael, right? He's a lot of fun. He's the fun guy around here. I could be the fun pastor. In fact, can that be my title instead of student pastor? Like, fun pastor? That'd make me feel more comfortable. And so we decided at that moment that we were going to continue to follow God. That we were going to say no to something just because it was what I felt my purpose was. I felt a sense of loss already. I already knew it was something that was unwanted. But I said, you know what? If it's not something that I want, but I know that God is leading me in this direction, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes to this. And here's what that process did. Going through the process of having a rejection, of having said no and a loss of purpose, it began to prepare us. It prepared us for what God had for us in the long run. It prepared us for the path that God truly had for us. It prepared us to be able to say yes to some crazy situations. It prepared us to be able to say yes when most people would be like, are you crazy? I'm not doing that. Because we had already walked through the process of losing a purpose. We had already walked through the process of saying yes to a completely unwanted purpose. I didn't want to be a pastor, and now I'm saying yes to this. Because I'm not going to be defined by what I do, but by who I serve. How are you going to respond in those moments? How are you going to respond when presented with something that you don't want? How are you going to respond when it's something that you desperately want, but it's completely ripped away from you? How are you going to respond? My hope is that you will respond like the last group of individuals that we're going to talk about today. My hope is that you respond just the way that they did. Continue on. We're going to jump over to Luke, and we're going to see this story found in Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. That right there blows me away. Why did the angel of the Lord appear to a bunch of shepherds out in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, again, that seems completely random to me. Why didn't the angel of the Lord appear to the kings, to the courts, to the rulers, to pastors and religious leaders? Why did he show up to a bunch of shepherds? I don't know, but I love it. And he says this, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all people. Continue on. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests. All of a sudden, these individuals, these shepherds that are just sitting there in the middle of the night, watching over some sheep, are presented with something magical, something amazing, something wonderful. They are part of the greatest story that has ever been told. And how do they respond? This is how they respond. When the angels had left and they had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Everybody say, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Everybody say, let's go.
Let's go.
How did they respond when presented with something that they had no idea was going to be there? A purpose that was completely unexpected. A purpose that was maybe unwanted. They had a job already. They were supposed to watch over their sheep at night. Instead, they were presented with something that was amazing. They didn't feel a sense of loss when they were going to leave their sheep. They said, oh no, we know that there is something amazing happening here. Let's go. Not even think twice about it. They said, let's go. How are you going to respond in a random purpose moment? How are you going to respond when it's something that you might not even want? When it's an answer of no to you, how are you going to respond? I can tell you what my heart is. My heart is to say to God every single time a purpose comes up, let's go. Let's do this. I don't have to worry about saying no. I don't have to worry about anxiety anymore. I know that if my God is for me, who can be against me? I know that I want to be part of the greatest story that's ever been told about building the kingdom of God. I had no desire to be a pastor. I had no desire to be the voice of God into people's lives. I just knew that I wanted to be able to follow him over anything that came up in my life. I wanted to follow him over anything else. And so I'm going to say every single time that God presents me with something, let's go, God. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to jump on board. I don't have to think twice about it. In fact, I want to get everybody else involved in this as well. It wasn't just one shepherd. It was a whole group of shepherds. And they said, let's do this. We want to be part of this thing. How are you going to respond when presented with a purpose? How are you going to respond when it feels like that purpose is ripped away from you? God walked us through so many moments so that we could make a drive from Illinois to the middle of the desert. We don't know anybody in Arizona. We don't have any friends or family in Arizona. Are there any Hawkeye fans in Arizona?
There are, matter of fact. There's lots of them. I appreciate that.
I had no idea. And we didn't think twice. We knew that this is what God wanted for us. And we were going to make this journey out here. But all of a sudden, the purpose was presented to be able to launch a church in Eastmark. We didn't even think twice about it. Let's go. I'm ready to do this. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I can't wait to see what it is. See, here's the reality of the loss of purpose. Too many times when we're lost, we have a lost purpose and we've lost something so meaningful in our life. Guess what? We hold on to that thing. We hold on to it so much and we get locked into the past. Let go. Because I know this, that if I would have stayed in the past, if I would have stayed locked into what was going on in the middle of Missouri and southern Missouri, that I wouldn't be living my dream right now. I have no idea what the future was going to hold for us. We had no idea when we were dating that we were going to end up in Arizona being part of this amazing, wonderful, exciting church. We had no idea what God had in store for us. We just knew that we wanted to follow him no matter what. And we had fun as we were student pastors. And I can tell you this. The very first day that I was sitting there in my office, that we said yes to Pastor Charlie, I'm going to be a student pastor. Oh man, rationalize it away, right? And I'm sitting in the office that day. And I didn't know what to do. I had no idea. I was like, I don't know. What do pastors do? I don't know. So I wrote a message, right? Like I wrote a message that I was going to preach. And then I was like, I don't know what to do now. What else do pastors do, right? So I called Jenny, and I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do? And he's like, no, I don't know. I'm just going to sit at my desk. I had no idea what to do. I'm just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, the administrative assistant, she says, Hey, Pastor Dare, you got a phone call. I got a phone, what? I don't even know how to work this phone. What button do I push, right? Like, okay, I got a phone call. And then I'm thinking to myself, how do I answer this? Like, how do I answer? Hello, Pastor Darren, the fun pastor. You know, like, I don't know how to answer this. Blessings in the name of the Lord, right? Like, is that how pastors are supposed to answer? What's up? Seems to work pretty good, you know? So I just like, hello, this is Darren, you know? And sure enough, sitting on the phone on the other side was the assistant dean of students at Evangel University, where we had already been rejected twice before. My very first day on the job, and she says this to me. Hey, we have another position that's open for resident director. And we don't even want to go through an interview process. We've already done that with you a couple of times. I'm just calling to offer you the job. And without thinking twice, I said, that ship has sailed, baby. No, I'm just joking. That's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to say. But I said, thank you, but no thanks. I'm beginning to fulfill the purpose that God has for me. Because I wasn't attached to just what I wanted to do. I was attached to who I wanted to serve. How are you going to respond in moments of random purpose? Church, can you please stand together?